This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Eliezer is sent by his master Avrom to find a wife for his son, Avrom's son Yitzhak. And the only guidelines he's given by Avrom is where to go and look for this bride, where she must come from, what sort of background, what sort of family. But that's all. So he devises a test as to how he's going to know if it's the right girl or not. And he appeals to the Ribbono Shel Olam that the test should be successful. And he says as follows: Hine anochi nitzov al ein hamoim. I am going to be standing on the well at the well of water. Uvenois anshei ha'ir yotzeis lishoiv moim, and the daughters of the men of the city will be coming out to draw water. So this is a place, an opportunity I will have to see the cross section of the available young ladies. And the girl to whom I shall say, Hatino chadech ve'eshte, tilt now your jug, your pitcher, and allow me to drink. The omro, and she will say, she say, drink, v'gam gemalecho ashke, and I shall also give to your camels to drink. Oiso hoichachtel avdecho liyitchok, she you have put aside, you have proved to be fit for your servant Yitzchok. Uvo eida, and through her I shall know, ki osiso chesed im aduni, that you have done kindness with my master. What is he testing for? So, on the surface, he appears to be testing for chesed, for kindness. Is she going to be a balas chesed or not? That's what he wants to know. And it's interesting, and this fits in with our discussions of the past few weeks, that at no stage does she ask her whether she went to, nowadays they call it yeshiva. In the old days they didn't used to have the chutzpah to call a girl's seminary a yeshiva. They didn't even used to call a yeshiva a yeshiva. In the old days, what today they call a yeshiva, in the old days they used to call a kindergarten. And what today we call a kollel, which is already advanced, which is already postgraduate study, in the old days they used to call a mechino. That's a preparatory school of institution of study. And then from the mechino one used to go into yeshiva. But what they used to call yeshivas in those days, we don't have any more such things. They don't exist. And by old days, I'm talking one generation ago. One generation ago, when a boy came out of school, he knew probably two Siddurim, right? That's one third of Shas. Then he went to Mechina. He didn't go to Yeshiva. He was now 17, 18. Then he went to Mechina. Went to Mechina for 2 or 3 years, and he learnt over those two Siddurim of Shas with a couple of more Siddurim of Shas. By the time he was 20 or 21, he was a big Talmid Chacham already. A very, very great Talmid Chacham already. Then the best of the lot used to be taken into Yeshivas. Those who qualified used to go into yeshiva. Nowadays, not only do they call what they used to call then a mechina, a place you go after school, not only do they already call that yeshivas, we don't have mechinas already anymore, we've skipped the mechinas, you see, we go straight into yeshivas after school. Not only that, but nowadays, even a place, a person who's never learnt before, an 18-year-old or a 20-year-old or a 25-year-old, who doesn't know Aleph Beis, and he goes into an institution in Yerushalayim, which they wouldn't even call it a cheder in the old days. Nobody would have had the chutzpah to call such a school a cheder. It's already called a yeshiva. A girl's school, it's a yeshiva already. But Eliezer didn't ask her what yeshiva she went to. No interest. Wants to see whether she has chesed in it. If she has the chesed, then it's already a good sign. If she doesn't have the chesed, he doesn't care what yeshiva she went to. It makes no difference. She's not fit for Yitzchak. He doesn't ask her how much her father earns. It's unimportant. It doesn't make any difference to Eliezer. That's not what will determine her fitness to Yitzchak. he doesn't ask for her yichus. Is your father a rov somewhere or a shishiva somewhere? It's not important. What he wants to know, first and foremost, is she a balas midas? Does she have midas? Now, if he wants to ask for the chesed, why the two tests? Why does he say to her, give me to drink, and then see what she says, and wait for her to say, not only will I give you to drink, but your camels I will give to drink too? Surely the greater test would have been for him not to ask her for a drink. Let him just be sitting by the well, and let her walk up and say, excuse me, you look tired and thirsty, can I help you to a drink? Surely that would have been the bigger test. And if he's going to say, if he's already asking her for a drink, so there's no relevance in that part of the test. The whole test is in the feeding of the animals. Is that his test for a wife, for Yitzchak, to see whether she has pity on animals? She's not showing in this test, she isn't called upon to demonstrate any of her interpersonal relationships really. What she's being called upon to demonstrate is her care for the animals, and her doesn't seem right. But if one looks at it carefully in terms of the description, the definitions which we have been developing over the past few weeks regarding the difference between Derech Eretz and Chesed, then one begins to understand that Eliezer was testing her for two different things altogether. We discussed Chesed and we've discussed Derech Eretz. Chesed is kindness, and Derech Eretz has no translation. Derech Eretz is Derech Eretz. But we have tried to give some kind of description as to what Derech Eretz is. And we've said Derech Eretz is the kind of thing which, if you do it, nobody even notices that you've done it. It's so small. But if you don't do it, it's a serious thing. Right? In non-Jewish circles, for example, if you walk into a public circle without taking your hat off, it's very rude. If you take your hat off, nobody says, ah, what a mensch, look at it, takes his hat. Nobody says it. If when you answer the phone, you don't just say, yes, what do you want? You say, good afternoon, what can I do for you? Nobody notices and says, ah, what a mensch, listen to the way he answers the phone. But if you answer in a rude fashion, everybody says, look what an abrupt individual he is, how can one speak to such a person? That's Derech Eretz. If you greet somebody, you say good morning to somebody, and you walk into your office and you say good morning to your secretary or to your colleagues, nobody says, ah, what a mensch, look at that, about chesed, look how kind he is. But just try not saying it, and what they'll start saying, ah, not even a mensch, can't even say good morning. Derech Eretz are those little things which nobody notices when you do them, but when you omit them, it becomes serious. That's Derech Eretz. Chesed is the opposite. If you don't do it, nobody will say you're a wicked person. But if you do it, ah, what a pleasure, what a kind and fine thing it is. If you go and you seek out a person in need and you give him some charity, well, if you wouldn't have sought him out and you wouldn't have found him, nobody would have blamed you for anything. You weren't asked to give him anything. But now that you've done this, what a wonderful thing it is. So the way we've been describing it, and I'm not going to say that this definition is a universal definition, and whenever you see the word Derech Eretz, that's what it means, and whenever you see the word Chesed, that's what it means. But just to try for our own terms of this discussion, so that you should understand what I'm talking about when I use the word Derech Eretz, and what I'm talking about when I use Chesed, let's use that description. We also discussed, I think it was last week, the possibility of a conflict between Derech Eretz and Chesed. But you can have a situation where to do an act of kindness can actually be a lack of Derech Eretz. And where if you're going to preserve the Derech Eretz, you're going to have to be unkind. And the one example that we gave of that is the day-to-day example of that is, I have a gift for you. So I barge through your front door, which happens to be open, walk through your house and into your bedroom, and I give you the gift there. And you throw me out. What right have you got to walk into my private bedroom? And I say, a fine mensch you are. I've come to give you a present, and you're throwing me out of your house. But it's no Derech Eretz. What do you mean, walking into the house? But I'm giving you a present. Doesn't matter. Derech Eretz kod malo Torah. Derech Eretz is more important than the present. Rather keep the present. You can't do the chesed at the expense of Derech Eretz. You cannot keep the Torah, you cannot do anything at the expense of Derech Eretz. Because when Derech Eretz goes, humanity goes. You're not a human being without Derech Eretz. Without Chesed, you're a human being, just you're not a very fine human being. But without Derech Eretz, you're not a human being at all. The Alter from Slabotsky goes further, as a matter of interest, and says that a person who loses his Derech Eretz, because he holds that everybody's born with it, He held a person who loses his Derech Eretz is guilty of committing suicide, because he's no longer a human being. He's destroyed his humanity, and that's suicide. An interesting concept. So far does it go. And the example we had in the Torah was with the angels coming to Avraham. Avraham is sick and he's old and it's hot. And they realize that if Avraham will see them, he will come and run towards them. So the kind thing to do is to run to Avraham, to stop him running in the heat. But if I run up to him, it looks like I'm imposing myself upon him, like I'm ingratiating myself upon him and demanding an invitation. That's not Derech Eretz. So although it cost them the chesed, although it required Avraham to make the trip himself, and that caused him a great deal of suffering and pain, and it was a lack of kindness on the part of the three angels, nevertheless they preserved their Derech Eretz. The Derech Eretz was to stay where they were, not to take the steps forward. Once we see that there's such a concept as a possibility of a conflict between Derech Eretz and Chesed, then we've got to understand that Eliezer wanted a test for both. Is it possible to have Chesed without Derech Eretz that we've just found? Yes, it can be. A person can be a big Baal Chesed, but he just hasn't got Derech Eretz. He's always giving gifts, and he's always giving tzedakah, and his house is always open. He's a kind person. That's unmenschlich. And you can find a person who's got Derech Eretz, but he never does Chesed. Nice, fine, polite, correct at all times. But a bit of Chesed, a bit of kindness, you won't find. It won't be. He wants to be sure, Eliezer wants to be sure that there's both. If he will come, and he will say to her, he won't say anything, and she'll come up to him and say, "Old man, you look tired and thirsty, can I give you something to drink?" What will that be, Derech Eretz or Chesed? That's Chesed. And then she'll say, "And I'll give you camels as well." What's that? More Chesed. So he hasn't tested her for Derech Eretz. He's not satisfied. It's not sufficient that she should be a Balas Chesed. Because Derech Eretz, Kodma La Torah, if she has the Chesed without the Derech Eretz, her Chesed is not worth anything. To have an animal who knows how to do Chesed, that's not worth anything. A dog can do Chesed. Its owner can be in trouble, and the dog will ward off the attackers. There's some Bernards up on the passes in Switzerland. I made a special trip up to the mountains there. Unfortunately, there was too much snow and they wouldn't let me near. But I wanted to see the dogs that do the chesed. Just to understand and knock it into my head that you don't have to be a human being to do chesed. But then a chesed a dog won't have. Never. My father always gives the example. He used to have a very, very clever dog. The dog was about chesed as well. The dog could even bring the newspaper in from outside. A chesed. And the newspaper boy would come and throw the paper down on the path. The dog would immediately run out, bring it in, and bring the newspaper to my father. My father says, "I could never train him to close the door behind him again." That's Derech Eretz. A dog can do chesed, but a dog can't have Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz is uniquely human. And Eliezer needs to check that she is a human being who can do chesed. Not an animal who can do chesed. That she doesn't need. That he doesn't need. So he says to her, "Please give me something to drink. Now let's test." So what's she going to say? If she says yes with pleasure, is that the sign of Derech Eretz? Not really. What kind of human being would you have to be? I mean, really, that's testing for the bottom of the barrel. An old man, after a long journey, says, "Please give me something to drink." You say no. Who would do that? No human being would do that. Even a dog wouldn't do that. Nobody would do that. If a dog could understand the language, he also wouldn't do that. So the test seems ridiculous on the surface. So either way, to do the way Eliezer did, to do it the way we suggested that Eliezer should not say anything and wait for her to offer the drink, that would be testing for chesed, but not for Derech Eretz. And if Eliezer would say as he did, what is he expected to say? Surely he doesn't expect her to say no. There's one thing she could have said. Look at what she did say. Let's look at the words carefully, and then you'll see what she could have said. Vatoymerin, she said, "Shasei Adoini, drink my master." Vatamaher, and she hurried. And the Sipurna says, the hurry is an indication of the chashivus of the balabos, of the importance of the balabos. It's already a sign of who she is. Right, if a guest comes into your home, and you say, "Would you like a cup of tea?" And he says, "Ooh, thank you, I would love a cup of tea," and you start wandering off. You bring the cup of tea and you bring it back with a schlep. It's not nice. if there's a bit of a rushing reaction, the guest feels on it. Why are you rushing so much? Don't rush. It's important. You want a cup of tea, I'll get it. The mehirus, the zrizus, is already a tremendous sign of their lechelitz. Vatanayo she harid. Vatoyred kado, and she took down her pitcher, says Rashi, me al shichmo, from her shoulder. But the Torah adds, Vatanayo vatoyred kado, and she took down her pitcher, al yodo, on her hand, vatashkehu, and she gave him to drink. What does that mean? She held it for him. That's what she did. He didn't ask for that. He just said, tilt it over for me, ve'eshteh, and let me drink. She fed him. She actually gave it to him to drink. Later on it says, vatechalla hashkoisoy, and she finished giving him to drink. Not just making the water available. There's the derech eretz. She could very easily have said, and this was the test, the old man comes and he says, please, can you give me something to drink? And she says, sure, here, help yourself. Meanwhile, I'll get the animals fed as well. Chesed. But no derech eretz. Help yourself is not derech eretz. Help yourself doesn't show kovod for the guest. Help yourself is not a nice thing to say. And it shows how insensitive we can because of our society. It's become such a normal thing to say. Sure, help yourself. It's so ugly. Why should I help myself if I'm a guest in your home? Nobody would say that, and nobody would think that. But the Torah thinks that. And Yitzchak, and Eliezer was not prepared to take a wife for Yitzchak, a woman who would say, help yourself. Even though she would say, help yourself, because I'm busy with the animals. You can't sacrifice derech eretz even for chesed. The kindness of feeding the animals, and it would save Eliezer the problem, and it would ease the animal's thirst, and it would be a wonderful kindness. But it would be at the cost of one word of derech eretz. That you can't do. A chesed which is committed at the expense of derech eretz is not valid. And it's not permitted. To say, help yourself. That's not. How often do we find the food on the table, please help yourself? It's grob. It's terrible. The food's on the table, what can I give you? The guest might say, don't worry, I'll help myself. And still the balabos or the balabosta should say, no, please don't worry, let me help you. That's the kind of interaction there should be if there's derech eretz. Does it make any difference to the chesed? It doesn't. A man's come in, there's a guest in your home, you've worked in the kitchen, you've slaved to prepare it, you've laid the table, you've made it all look good, you've spent hours, you've spent money, whatever it is, to give the guest what he wants. And he comes in and you make him feel comfortable. Is there any lack of chesed? Is he receiving any less? Is there any less kindness in the act that you're doing? Imagine a poor person gets invited to Buckingham Palace or to the White House for dinner, and he comes in there and everything's laid out so beautifully, and the President or the Queen says, here, please, help yourself to whatever you want. He would be in seventh heaven. Wonderful chesed. But imagine if they didn't say, help yourself. Imagine if the President or the Queen said, please sit down, what can I give you to eat? Feeling of total embarrassment, who am I that you should be serving me? But that's the kovod habrius. That's showing honor to another human being. And we need to understand that the basic principle of derech eretz is kovod habrius, to show honor to another human being. And perhaps part of the problem of the lack of derech eretz in our generation is that we don't operate as human beings worthy of that honor sometimes. We don't sometimes look like we're worthy of that honor. Ad kedei kach, that if I should want to serve you, it's required of a human being that he carries with him the tzelem elokim, that he carries with him the image of the Ribbono Shel Olam so much that one wants to serve him, that one wants to work for him, one wants to do things for him. Because that's kovod habrius, that's showing honor to another human being because he's a human being. Because he acts as though he is created in the image of Hashem. You remember we learnt a long time ago, in fact it was just over a year ago, that not every human being is created in the image of Hashem. Or shall we say, not every human being retains the image of Hashem with which he was created. Tzelem Elokim is a type of, is a form of behavior. And the Tzelem Elokim is something we should recognize in others, and go to all extremes to respect and to honor that Tzelem Elokim. And it's something we should be meticulously careful to preserve in ourselves. Just think, had Rivka said, please Yitzchak, help yourself, Eliezer, please help yourself, here's the jug, I'll feed the animals. She would never have become the mother of the Jewish people. One slip like that, a tiny slip in Derech Eretz, that's all. Doing all that chesed, and you know what it is to feed one camel water after he's been in the desert for a while. Never mind 10 camels. Do you know what work that was to work to bring up the water over and over and over again and feed and feed and feed? All that work and all that chesed and all that kindness and sensitivity, but she wouldn't have made it. She would have failed the test because she would have said, help yourself. That's not the effect. And if she would have helped him and would not also have offered to serve the animals, she was also would have failed. And it's interesting, why did she offer to serve the animals? There were men with Eliezer. Eliezer didn't come alone. Further on it says that when he came to the house of Lavan, they made place for him and the men that were with him. So we see he had an entourage of young men that were with him, able-bodied human beings. Was it for Rivka to go and feed those animals when there are young men standing around ready to do so? Really wasn't. So as Derech Eretz she didn't have to. That's chesed. That was the test of the chesed. To do more than you're called upon to do is chesed. To do that which you're called upon to do is derech eretz. To do much more than you're called upon to do is chesed. And the chidush of this test is that you can have a person who knows how to do chesed. You can have a person who knows how to do all the dramatic things in life, the big gestures of hospitality and generosity, the putting oneself out for another person. And simple Derech Eretz he doesn't have. Not only is it possible, but it's something which is very frequent. It's something which occurs over and over again. But when a person already is on the Madrega of Chesed, he's a Baal Chesed, he knows how to be kind and how to be generous and how to be warm, it doesn't mean that he's anywhere near the level of having Derech Eretz. Which is greater, Chesed or Derech Eretz? Not for us to say which is greater, but one thing we know, Derech Eretz comes first. That as long as there's no Derech Eretz, no matter how much chesed there is, as long as there's no Derech Eretz, it's always a human being, that's not a mensch. When there's Derech Eretz plus the chesed and all the other things, then it's a different story. Eliezer wanted to be meticulously careful that the wife he chose for Rivka had two qualities. That she had Derech Eretz and that she had Midas. And then everything else could be taught to her. Everything else she could develop, everything else she could learn, she needed nothing else. But that she needed. And without that she couldn't become part of the whole scene. She couldn't become the wife of Yitzchak, the daughter-in-law of Avraham Avinu, the mother of Yaakov. That she would not have been able to come. Is there any area in which Derech Eretz is really greater than Chesed? So the one area we know that it's Kodma L'Torah, it comes first. But on the surface it would appear that chesed is much greater. One has to put oneself out for chesed in a way that one doesn't have to for derech eretz. Derech eretz you just have to watch yourself, that's all. One has to watch oneself to make sure one doesn't put a foot wrong. That's really what derech eretz is. Just to be meticulously careful on the little things to do things right. Chesed is really, one has to go to a great deal of effort and very often a great deal of expense to effect an act of chesed. Yet, in some ways, Derech Eretz is greater than Chesed. And there are in fact two ways. I was going to try and combine them in a shiur tonight, but they are so. The second one, particularly the second aspect of this whole thing, is so foreign and difficult that I've decided to give you at least a week to integrate what I'm doing tonight, which is difficult enough, and enough of a chiddush. And possibly next week, depending how it fits into the sedra, I'll develop the continuation of it, which is even more way out. You remember the story of the non-Jew who comes to Shammai and asks to be converted, but he wants to be taught the whole Torah while he stands on one leg. And we've often explained that what that means is not that he meant to go through the whole of Shas while he stands on one leg, but he wanted one principle by which he could test whether he's doing right or wrong. He can't go, he doesn't know Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't know Shas. How does he know each moment of his life? Is it right, is it wrong? And Shammai refused to give him such a golden rule. Shammai felt that you cannot oversimplify the Torah to the extent that you can give one rule and say this is it. Hillel took the challenge on. He went to Hillel and Hillel accepted the challenge. And Hillel said to him, "The Alach Sani, what is hateful unto yourself, l'chavercha l'itav, you don't do to your friend. That's what he told him. And the question is often asked, why did Hillel not tell him, quote from him from the Torah, you should love your neighbor as yourself? Surely that's the greater thing, surely that's the more beautiful thing. So the one thing we see already is that whereas the ahavta l'reacha kamoicha, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, is chesed, that's acts of kindness, ma'adasani lach l'chavecha atavid, is derecheretz. Just do to other people what you don't like done to yourself. That's basic derecheretz. And we see as a matter of interest that Hillel chose derecheretz as the basic principle. When you've got that, you're ready. I'm ready to convert you once you understand that. But there's a little bit more to that. There's a big difference between the Yahavta l'Reacha Kameicha and Ma'adasani l'Chavecha l'Tavid. The Yahavta l'Reacha Kameicha, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Says the Ramban, it's not possible to really love another person as yourself, but what it means, you shall want for him that which you want for yourself. That's what the din really means. That means basically, if you want an education for yourself, and you have a friend, a chaver, a shomer Torah, a mitzvah, who can't afford an education, you are equally obliged to try and provide an education for him as you would for yourself. If it's not going to be at the cost of your own education, because you come first, where you have to sacrifice one. But if you have to have enough to pay for your own education with a bit of money left over, on the basis of the Avta L'Reacha Kameicha, you're obliged to go to your friend and say, right, I'll put you through university, or I'll put your child through university. Don't worry about it, it's on me. Imagine the gratitude of the parents, the gratitude of the child. The child goes through university and he goes through his first year and he passes, and he goes through his second year and he passes, he goes through his third year and he passes with firsts all the way through, and he does his honours and he does his masters and he does his doctorate, and you've paid for the whole lot. And he becomes a professor, and he becomes world acknowledged. And wherever he goes, before he starts a lecture, he says, I must acknowledge that my education comes from Mr. So-and-so. Whatever I know, everything I've got comes from him. And I'm hereby acknowledge that and thank him for it. And finally he receives the Nobel Prize, and in front of the King of Sweden there he stands and he says, I want you to all to know that so-and-so is the person responsible for what I've chosen. What nachas the person gets. That doesn't belittle the action. The action was a great action. But there's such nachas, there's such enjoyment in the feedback, in receiving the gratitude, in noticing the progress. What happens about the same person? Goes through, you don't pay for it. He goes through his university himself, he goes through and he gets his first, and he does his honours and he gets his doctorate. And he's about to be appointed a professor. And your opinion is asked. And you don't like him very much. You think he's a useless human being. And you think you're more suited to the position than he is. And they say, right, it's now on you. We consider you as an expert in this field. We want to appoint Mr. So-and-so as a professor. What do you feel about him? And you start battling with yourself. If you will express the slightest reservation, the job is yours. If you will express the slightest encouragement, the job is lost to you. And he said, I think he's a first class man. And I say, thank you very much. And the next morning they appoint him. And you don't go back to him and say one day, you know, your appointment, it was mine. That's for yourself. You keep that to yourself. My father spoke about a couple of weeks ago about Lot's middle, how in Mitzrayim he didn't go back to Paro, to Avimelech, and say, I knew all the time that they were my husband. Get quiet about it. So he had to. The correct thing to do would certainly be to keep that. Nobody will ever know that you did it. And he becomes a professor, and he becomes world famous as a result of that. And all as a result of that, and then he gets the Nobel Prize, and he's standing there in front of the King of Sweden, and you see his pictures in all the papers, and you think to myself, it's because of me that he's there. Which is greater? The first one or the second one? The first one costs more money, the second one costs more heartbreak. Which takes it more out of the human being? The money was paid and it was finished, then the nachas came in. After the initial hurt of paying the money, then there was only nachas. In this case, they were least hurt at the time of doing the chesed, and after that all one has is the pain and suffering and the jealousy thereafter. I'm talking about normal human beings. Which is greater? The second one was derech eretz. The second one wasn't really a great act of chesed. You're asked an opinion, you give an honest opinion, this is normal. The first one was a tremendous act of chesed. The first one there is acknowledgement for, there's recognition for. Second one, nobody but the Ribbono Shel Olam and you know what power you had and how you chose to use that power. Which is great. Now the sani, the alach sani lechavecha atav, it says, Hillel, if you get to the level not of loving your neighbor as yourself, that's easy. Because it comes back to you, you get nachas from that. But get to a higher level where you can stop yourself harming other people, then you're ready for Torah. That's the level one wants to see. It's an amazing thing how today it is assumed that that midah doesn't exist. The fear and terror of blackmail is unbelievable today. Blackmail even before it's been expressed. Where you'll say to a man, you know, why don't you come out, you know X, Y, Z, why don't you come out and put your head on the block and say it? He says, you know, if I say it, I'm causing harm to so-and-so. You say, but don't you believe that so-and-so deserves that harm? Don't you believe he's dangerous where he is? Yes, absolutely. No. No, but he knows things about me. I can't afford to do it. And over and over and again, one nowadays finds that that is the attitude of this terror and fear that because of a superior position in which somebody else is in, and if we live in a society together, at some stage or another, we all get into that superior situation. We all know something about one another that could cause the other embarrassment. But in a Torah society, it is understood and assumed that no matter what argument takes place, no matter what disputes take place, and no matter how low that argument degenerates, chas v'sholem, that one individual would use his knowledge, the intimate knowledge that he might have of another human being, to embarrass him at a later stage? Never. And if it means he'll lose all his money because he doesn't open his mouth, he'll lose all his money. If it means he'll lose his status and his position because he doesn't open his mouth, he'll lose it. But to use a privileged situation for that. I've even had situations where a particular member of the medical profession came to see me about the fact that I had committed a serious offence in encouraging his child to learn Torah and to get him enrolled in a yeshiva. And he started threatening blackmail. And the form of the blackmail took was, I've had certain rabbonim in the community consult me. Would you like me to come out with it? And my answer was, with pleasure. It's kind of, you'll do it once and that will be the end of you. But don't hold anybody up to blackmail. But it was taken as absolutely normal conduct. But that's the way one bargains and that's the way one negotiates. But that's fair play. If I have something on you, it could be used sometime. And because of that, people become inward and they become inhibited and it becomes difficult to get to them to talk openly about their problems and their difficulties. They become paranoid and suspicious. How can I tell you what's really going on? Who knows one day how you might decide to use that information? The moment there isn't that basic trust that will never ever be used against a human being, there's nothing at all. That's Madisani Lach Lechavecha Atavit. That's the bottom level of human society. When that isn't there, nothing is there. No matter how the frumkeit looks and no matter how Shabbos is kept and kashrus and all the rest of it, if that isn't there, nothing is there. It's all a lot of hogwash if that isn't there. So Derech Eretz has a mile, it has a certain advantage over Chesed. Because for Derech Eretz you never get a thank you. Nobody ever compliments you for having Derech Eretz. No, you don't get nachas from having Derech Eretz. It's just you get into trouble if you don't have Derech Eretz, but you don't get any nachas from having Derech Eretz. Whereas from Chesed you get nachas. What I want to look at is it possible ever to have a situation where chesed has that same advantage as derech eretz? In other words, we'll have on the one hand the advantage of the chesed being something which required effort and energy and expense and thoughtfulness and a great deal of exertion, and on the other hand, you don't get a thank you for it. It's something which is just taken for granted. There's a very, very strange medrash at the beginning of this week's Seder. Avrom, after Solo dies, Avrom negotiates with Ephraim to buy the Maras HaMachpelah, and then it says, V'acharaychein, after that, Kovar Avrom es Solo Ishto, Avrom buried Solo, his wife, El Me'oras Sedei HaMachpelah, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, Apenei Mamre Hi Hevron, just by Hevron, Be'eretz Canaan, in the land of Canaan. Says the Medrash, V'acharaychein, Kovar Avrom, Adau dichtiv, this is what it says in Mishli, Redev tzedakah v'chesed, yimtzu chayim tzedakah v'chavid. He who pursues tzedakah and chesed and kindness will find life, charity and honor. Redev tzedakah ze Avrom. Who is an example of a man who pursues charity? It's Avrom. Shneema v'shomru derech Hashem la'asin tzedakah. Because it says in last week's Seder that Hashem knows that Avram is a person who will instruct his household to do tzedakah and mishpat. So Avram is the example of a man who does tzedakah. The chesed, and he's the man also who does chesed. What's the example of Avram's chesed? Shogomal chesed l'sara. He did this wonderful kindness to Sarah. What kindness? He buried her. What does the Torah expect him to leave her decaying and buried? Wonderful kindness. Omar Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Omar Allah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, Ani umanati gumel chasodim. My profession is chesed, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. Some of us are doctors, some of us are lawyers. The Ribbono Shel Olam is about chesed. That's his profession. So fasta umanusi, you have taken my profession, Avram. Bo levush levusha, come and wear my clothing. Avram Zokin Baba Yomim, that's why he had longevity, that's why he had long life. And all this is on the posuk of the Achrechein Kovar Avram, and afterwards Avram buried his wife. Asks the author from Slabotka, my goodness, is that such a big chesed? And even if you'll say yes, it's a big chesed to bury your wife, is that the greatest chesed the Torah can find to attribute to Avram? Look how Avram nearly gave his life for those three angels. He was sick. He had been operated on. He was in pain and suffering. It was a boiling hot day. And look how he serves them, cooks for them, bakes for them, stands by them, washes them, and looks after them. Any doctor would have said, Avram, get straight to bed. What business have you got to be up? Never mind working like this. Doesn't matter. Avram knew that he was prepared to be Moshe Nefesh for Gimilus Chasodin. That's not quoted as the example of Avram's chesed. All the wonderful things that Avram did, the people he taught, the people he invested time and energy into, the people he entertained, the people he looked after, the tzedakah he gave, that's not referred to as Avram's chesed. The great chesed of Avram, he buried Sarah. What's so great about that? Asks the author from Slabodka. The answer is that we can find another stroke of paint in the canvas which is beginning to form around the subject of Derech Eretz. And that is, Derech Eretz is doing that which is expected of you. Expected by society or expected by the Torah. Chesed is doing more than that which is expected of you. If that is the case, then the more strange and distant a human being is from you, the more of what you do will be termed Chesed rather than Derech Eretz. A strange person arrives at the airport. So you want to go and meet him. You see this person rushing off. Where are you going? I'm going to meet the flight. Which flight? The El Al flight. Why? Well, who's coming? No, Jews are coming. Which Jews are coming? I don't know, but Yidden are coming. I want to meet them. What's that? Derech Eretz? No. That's Chesed. And he goes there, and the Yidden come off the plane, and he says to each one as they come, have you got a place to stay? Have you got a place to stay? He finds one, says, no, I don't have a place. Come with me. And he takes him off, and he takes him home, and he gives him something to eat, and he sets him up. Who do you want to see here? What have you come here for? Can I help you set it all up? That's all derech. That's all chesed. What about chesed? And people go mad about this bal chesed. And he's written up in all the papers, and people interview him, and wherever he goes, people want to shake his hand. This man is known all over the world already. When you come to Johannesburg, you must know, you'll meet Rabbi there. As you come off the plane, he'll ask you, do you have anywhere to go? If you don't, he'll take you home, he'll look after you. And all of a sudden you find that there are more people coming to Johannesburg than ever before, and Mishulachim are coming more than ever before, fundraisers are coming, all sorts of people find that they can manage in Johannesburg like they've never been able to manage before. His neighbor likes, is very impressed with all this publicity that his friend is getting, and his wife comes back from overseas, and off he goes to meet her in the LR flight, and he brings her home, and he asks her what she wants and who she wants to see and what she wants done. He makes a big fuss about her. Nothing in the papers, nobody raves about it, nobody says anything. And he goes and he knocks on his friend's door. He says, tell me, the first time you did it, did people compliment you for it? He says, compliment me, my goodness. He says, they fell over me. They didn't know what it hit them. They thought I was some kind of angel. He says, funny thing. He says, I went and did exactly the same yesterday. I went, my wife came, I did exactly what you do to everybody. Not even a thank you. What does he say? Chochem, it was your wife. You're obligated to do that. It's the difference between derech eretz and chesed, isn't it? You can't say it's derech eretz, because it requires effort to take off work and go to the airport and meet your wife and come home and unpack her suitcases for her and put up her feet on a chair and bring her some tea. It requires a lot of effort. One can't just say that's derech eretz. In terms of our definition, derech eretz is those actions which, if you do them, it's nothing to do them, it's very simple to do them. It's only if you don't do them that it's serious. But here, this is an act of derech, this is an act of chesed. So where's all the thank yous? Where's all the gratefulness? So people say it's one of the tragedies of marriage that the couple begins to take each other for granted. And I say it is one of the beauties of marriage that the couple begins to take each other for granted. She says, what do you want the yishikeach for? I'm yours. I expect that. I would do the same for you. Big chesed. It would be an insult if I fell over you and made of you, if this is an unusual thing and really you're a hero for doing it, I take it for granted. And so we find that the closer home it comes, chesed begins to take on some of the elements of derech eretz. That although one might be doing great actions and great deeds, they're taken for granted, they're little things, nobody notices them. If you don't do them, you'll get a clap. Just try and not meet your wife at the airport and see what happens. Then you're in trouble. But that doesn't mean that what you've done is derech eretz, it's not chesed. No, it's chesed. There's no question it's chesed. But look now what chesed it is. It's a chesed for which there's no thank you. And that's the greatest chesed of all. A chesed for which you don't get the nachas. Much greater to do a chesed to one's own wife than it is to do to a stranger. For the stranger you get a yeshakeach, to your own wife you don't. And it works the other way around too. When the wife stands in the kitchen all day with the sweat pouring down her face, baking the challahs and making the chons and preparing the meal, and he comes and he sits down at the table and doesn't even compliment her, doesn't even notice what's gone into it, the work and the effort that's gone into it, she gets upset. Having to get upset about. That's no heter for husbands not to compliment their wives and to notice what they're doing. That certainly is obligatory nevertheless. But there should be a nice, warm, intimate feeling inside, even if he doesn't know. He takes it for granted. Why shouldn't he? The closer one gets home, the more what one is doing, the chesed one does, the less thanks one gets for it. And the less thanks one gets for it, the greater it is. Not only in a human sense, but also in a religious sense. Part of one's reward one receives for the kindnesses one does, one receives in the gratitude one receives. Where one does a chesed and receives no benefit from it at all, can you imagine what the Ribbono Shel Olam still got to pay for it? And so we find that the closer to home is the kindness, the more it is taken for granted, and that makes it a greater kindness, not a smaller kindness. And it's pathetic to see that we excel far more in acts of chesed to those away from us than those close to us. Because it simply shows that what we're after is the recognition and the nachas. If we're really doing it because we're balei chesed, if we're really doing it because we're kind people and we're fine people, we should do it more with the people who are close to us than with the people who are distant to us. It's a bigger chesed to do it to somebody close. It's bigger because it's taken for granted. It's more important because it's taken for granted. It becomes a duty, not a chesed. But as a duty, it still has all the merits and all the rewards of the chesed. And that's what the Medrash means when it says, picking that chesed. Altogether, burial is termed the chesed shel emes. It's termed the true chesed. And the reason for which it's termed the true chesed is exactly that, that the dead person can't respond. It's something which is he can't pay back for. So when one does a chesed to a dead person, it's chesed shel emes. There can be no other motivation but the desire to do a chesed that's involved there. But here it's even greater, where one's doing that chesed to one's own. Where there's absolutely no sense. So you can't even pat yourself on the back. If one goes, if one's metapel b'meis, if one attends to a dead person and to their family, so the dead person can't say yeshukach, but you can at least go to bed that night thinking, ah, what a tzaddik I was, look what I did today. That's chas v'sholom, when one has to bury one's own relatives. You don't even go to bed saying what a tzaddik I am. You don't even feel it. Does that make it less of a chesed? No. The effort went in, the work went in, the sweat went in, the toil went in, the love and dedication went in to find the right place, and look how he went to find the right cave in which to bury her. Across the board, the place to emphasize it and the place to really test it is in one's own home. The Chaim Vital says that the whole status, the whole religious stature of a man can be measured by the way he treats his wife. Nothing else. You don't measure it by how many committees he sits on and how many times he visits the sick and how many time money he gives to the Zohar and Siegel. All that doesn't necessarily indicate what kind of a human being he is. If you want to know what kind of a human being he is, it's how he treats his wife. That's where you'll know where it really is. That's the field of chesed at its greatest. How a child treats his parent, how a parent treats a child, how a husband treats a wife, how a wife treats a husband, how two people working together treat one another, how partners treat one another, how colleagues treat one another, how chavrusas treat one another, how members of the same community in the same base of midrash treat one another. It's no good the moment a visitor comes in, oh, and everybody's around him, and he gets an aliyah, and he's invited to six homes when he can only go to one in any case, and the people are here all the time. There are people in our community who've been here for 6 years, 7 years, who haven't been into one another's homes yet, believe it or not. There's situations in the community where poshet is a great deal of chesed is being done by certain people, but there are others that are right out of it. In terms of doing chesed on a day-to-day basis, on a regular day-to-day basis, with the people who are familiar. Never mind, it's an important thing, achlos sochim, to be very kind and to go out of one's way to make a newcomer feel at home. God forbid that should be neglected and that shouldn't be done. But we're talking about the other side of the coin now. How equally important it is to those who are at home and those who've been here for a long time to express chesed there as well, to express kindness there as well, and how much more so also, obviously, derech eretz. I spoke only 2 weeks ago about the fear, not in our community itself, but in the area of lack of derech eretz. Two frum people crossing each other on the way to shul on a Friday night or on a Shabbos and not saying good Shabbos to one another. Things like this go to the destruction of a neighborhood. It goes to the degeneracy and the decadence of a neighborhood. How much more so within a community itself that one should go out of one's way to greet people, to inquire after them, to follow them up a little bit, to notice if they're not well, to ask how they've been. Just the normal interaction and interhuman behavior for which one gets no thank you. But not doing it is so bad. And also those chasodim, those acts of chesed with one another, where there is more of a thank you, where there is more nachas, but still, because it's with familiar people, perhaps one doesn't see it to the same degree. And that this is something that should be worked on and should be developed within our homes, outside our homes, that the chesed should be most active close in. And it becomes, as one moves further and further out, so it becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. One's first loyalties, one's first obligations, one's first responsibility to one's own home, to one's own circle, to one's own community, and then one moves it out as far as one is able to do so.